begin today where we began yesterday, which is to highlight the definition. When we say malacha here, we don't mean the Isser malacha like in Shabbos or Yom Tov. We do not mean that they're not allowed to write a word on paper after Chatzos, and then in certain places you're not allowed to write or strike a match or water the plants before Chatzos. We mean malacha in the sense of getting busy with a project, akin perhaps to the Isser malacha before you daven and the Isser malacha, those sorts of Isser malacha. And not getting, we're going to see later soon in our parak, not doing malacha Leil Pesach before you do Bedikas Chametz. Once again, it doesn't mean not allowed to turn on the lights. It means not to get busy with a project, because we're concerned you're going to get distracted, delayed, diverted. So again, our Braisa, let's remember where we were, because we had left off yesterday with two hanging kashas, to which we want to respond and deal with. So you remember that the Mishnayos, there were two Mishnayos in the fourth parak that spoke about Malachas Erev Pesach. The Mishnah Daf Nun, which said clearly it's a question of Minhag. Some places have the Minhag to avoid Malacha, some places do not have the Minhag to avoid Malacha in the morning, or before Chatzos HaLayom of Erev Pesach. And the Mishnah Daf Nun was clear, you should follow whatever Minhag HaMakom is. If you're traveling from place to place, then you may have to contend with the minhag of multiple makomos. Your hometown is very well as where you are temporarily. But fundamentally, it's a question of minhag. Before Chatzos Hayom, Melechas Chol Moed is a question of minhag, and different makomos have different minhag. The Gemara Nunhei had pointed out that when you get to the Mishnah continues this discussion after a tangent, the Mishnah comes back to this discussion on Nunhei of an Aleph, five blot later, and Mishnah picks up with it and uses the language of Isser. On Nun, it was all about Nahagu, but on Nunhei, the Mishnah says, what's the story with the night of Erev Pesach, the night of Bedikas Chametz? Machlokes B'Sham Bezil, whether it's Aser or Mutter. Aser! Well, I thought we're talking about Minhagim, not about Isurim, not about something that's binding at least Midrabanon. So the Gemara said, what we really have here is a machlokas later Amorayim, a machlokas Rabbi Meir of Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds that the whole issue of Malacha before Chatzos Yom, it's entirely a question of Minhag. There are no Isurim, not even Isurim Midrabanon. It's entirely a question of Minhag, and that Shita is represented on Daf Nun, Makom Shenohagu. But Nunhei, particularly towards the end of the Mishnah, Nunhei and Aleph, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's not a question of Minhag, it's a question of Din. There may have been a Machlokas earlier Tanan, whether it's Aser or Mutter, but the issue is rises beyond the level of Minhag to the level of Din, presumably a Din Drabbanan. The fact is, a Din Drabbanan is reflected in our Sugya, because our Sugya and Dafez Mabez, in trying to again get clarity, no pun intended, trying to get clarity about how you define the word R, and specifically the second definition of the word R. Definition number one is light. That's been clear earlier in our sugya. The machlokas, Rav Huna of Yehuda, is what's the second definition? In addition to meaning light, R could also refer to a period of time, but which one? That been machlokas, Rav Huna of Yehuda, is it Nagi or Urt or Leili? Is it referred to dawn, early morning, or is it referred to the evening? So here the Gemara attempted to bring a raya from the fact that in debating when the Easter Malacha begins, so if you read the Tanur, Rabbi Yehuda says it begins from Hanetzacham, from sunrise. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, earlier, Mishas Ha'or. So first the Gemara thought, you see that if Rabbi Yehuda is saying it starts at the beginning of the morning, Hanetzacham, it must be Rabbi Yaakov thinks it starts 12 hours earlier, at the beginning of the evening, and when he says, or it must be nighttime. The Gemara says, no, maybe he means morning, but earlier in the morning, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said sunrise. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, you already have to cut off malacha at when you get to Alos HaShachar. Okay. And the Gemara, you'll remember, had gotten involved in if you want to really argue that Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is just talking about Alos HaShachar, how do you understand the Shachar of the Tariya that the Brice of the Tosefta records? Rabbi Yaakov's attack Misvara against Rabbi Yehuda with Heichan Matzinu. Heichan Matzinu, that we should cut the day in half. Hey, what was his language? Where do you find a yom, a day that's part aser and part mutter? So if you say Mosnakel, it means that the ism begins from the night before, or means Lailo Geraldik. He's saying all night, all day is aser and mutter. But if you say Shalos HaShachar, what's he saying? The Gemara says he means day as opposed to night. And that is meaningful. That obviously, usually when you have an ism melacha, it's night and day together. But we do find, the Gemara says, in defense of the second interpretation of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that R means Los HaShachar, we do find another example. The Gemara is looking, where are we going to find another example where there's, the din begins at Los HaShachar? Tainus Tzibur. The Tainus Tzibur begins early in the morning, but as Yaakov himself says, at Los HaShachar. Gevaldik, so that's our model for having a din that begins, that Los HaShachar is also a legitimate boundary for when the din can begin. After all, as we've seen in the past, Alos HaShachar is when Yom begins. All the mitzvahs, all the daytime mitzvahs, the end of the second parak of Megillah, all the daytime mitzvahs begin for Alos HaShachar. Ideally, we tell you, Lechatchila, you should wait, hold off until an Eitzah Chama for Mila and for Lulav and for Shofar and so forth. But strictly speaking, if you perform the mitzvah anytime after Hanetzach Chama, you are Yotze. The Mishnah Dav Chaf Amud Beis is a long list of mitzvos that apply dafka during the day. And on the previous Amud, Chaf Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, you shouldn't do these mitzvahs until Hanetzach Chama, but Kulon She'asu M'sha'al Mura Shachar Kashin. You're Yotze after Mura Shachar, we tell you to L'chatchila, you should wait. But strictly speaking, Yotze after Alos HaShachar, because the day begins Alos HaShachar. So that was earlier we saw that Sugya in the beginning of Brachas as well. That came up in the Be'ah Shmarsha's discussion. The day begins Alos HaShachar. Okay. So that's Midas Chachamim. That's the way Chazal would craft legislation. That's the way Chazal would craft the Din Drabbanan. We spent some time yesterday in the Chiddush Aharon. That what the Gemara is really driving at the end of the Sugya is that we're looking along the lines of how Rashi began to unpack the sugya for us, that the Gemara is saying that what we're really concerned with is what's Midas Chachamim. How do Chazal craft Dinu Drabbanan? And the Gemara even said there are times when a Dinu Drabbanan won't fall on the boundary of a day. There are times when it'll be 2 hours before Chatzos is when the Issar Chiel's Chametz begins. The Gemara said that's Harchak, and we saw from the Ran, where we tried yesterday to apply the idea of the Chiddush Aharon, that the idea is that Chazal don't make Gzeiros in arbitrary ways. So they might, even the details, when they're designing, when they're legislating, when they're creating Din Drabbanan, they're going to, the details of the design will not be arbitrary. Either the details of the design correspond to the Tzorech, correspond to whatever the purpose of the gzeira is. So, for instance, the Issa d'Oraisa of Chametz begins at Chatzos, and the Sugya Aleph, people sometimes will be off by up to 2 hours and trying to look at the sun and assess the time. Okay, so it makes sense that 2 hours before Chatzos, you can have an Issa Achilas Chametz. That's read that. That corresponds to the issue. That corresponds to the purpose of the Takana. So that's the best way, in a sense, to make a takana is absolutely non-arbitrary. You build it around, design it around whatever its purpose is. Or you design it by the natural boundaries. The pre-existing B'chol Torah Kula, pan-halachic boundaries, Shkia, Tzei, Salos HaShachar, these are the Yom and Laila, separate concepts, okay? So that's also non-arbitrary. But it's not to say, and that's a chama, the din should begin. Why? And by the way, we didn't see this yesterday, but on that point, the explanation why Yehuda does disagree and does say Hanetzach Chama, Tosos, the second Tosos, excuse me, the third Tosis on the Yamud Dibur Maslow, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Yaakov. So Tosus explains, now what's the svar from Yehuda? It has to do with when people show up to work. Kenisas Polim Lamalacha, in the days of Chazal, people started working, day laborers would show up to work around sunrise. Makes sense. So if you have an Isser Malacha, it makes sense that it should be when people would be showing up to work. So that's exactly when you say, sorry, today is not a working day. Today is not a working day. Rabbi Shechter quotes in his notes of the Rav Shiurim Zachim, he quotes Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein made a comment in Shir, a different approach to the Savara, the Taima, for Hanetzach Hama, is that for certain respects, the day begins for Karbanos at Hanetzach Hama. If you wash your hand, Kohen will come up early to Beis Hamikdash, he washes his hands, Rambam indicates in B'ez HaMikdash, and then he gave you the Marmakim in the Maram Kavos, Rambam says, you have to rewash your hands after Hanetzach Hama. To a certain extent, the day begins for Karbanos at Hanetzach Hama. So if, as the Meiri suggests, the whole idea of the Isser Malacha is because this is the day you're bringing the Karban Pesach, so then maybe that's also a reason why Hanetzach Hama is on point in terms of the purpose of the Takana. Okay. But we left off with two questions. The first question was that Tosus had pushed back against Rashi vigorously. Everything we've been talking about. Daf Nun says it's minit. Daf Nun Hei says it's adin. And the Gemara Dun Hei says Machlokes Rav Meir and Daf Nun and Rabbi Yehuda Daf Nun Hei. And here we have Rabbi Yehuda. So clearly, says Tosus, here we're talking Isurim. And yet Rashi, strangely, on that base of base, it introduced our says, yeah, Machlokes Shenagu Daf Nun is all about minig. Why? But we're talking Rabbi Yehuda. Clearly, we're talking about din. And kasha number two of Tosus was the same way the Gemara Daf Nun Hei was medayik from the language of the Mishnah Nun Hei. You use the word aser, it must be an Easter, not just a minig. But here too, the opening line of the brisa is aser. So by that argument as well, this is a din and not a minig. And kasha number three was if this is really a minig, nechzehei chinoho. So why are we debating when does the minute begin? See what the minute amakim is. As a matter of fact, it's even possible a different makabos, a different minhagim. I mean, just like some places don't have a minute of Isser Malacha in the morning at all, maybe some have an Isser Malacha, I have a minute to start from Hanetz, and another minute to start from Los HaShachar. Why not? But it's hard to understand why would there be machlokas about it? Just, again, we left off yesterday, and we said the source from Yerushalmi and Challah, for the notion that we reject the machlokas and metzias, because if it's an issue of metzias that's discernible, so go out and discern it. Go experiment, go observe, and figure out why we argue about what the minhag is. Let's just see what the minhag is. And as a matter of fact, there may be multiple minhag. I mean, you're going to be bound by whatever the minhag of your machim is. So what do you mean machlokas or blazim yakum? So for all three reasons, Tosa says they have a hard time accepting Rashi's pshat. That our Bryce and Abezabez is arguing level of minig. No, says Tosus, we're arguing level of din. Question.
Don't we say that if you accept the minhag, it sort of becomes a vehicle for
you? Okay. Okay, it could be. There is a discussion we showed in Ron, the Rambam, wire minhag and binding. Probably Nitam Neder, it's the way that Ron presents it. It's like a Neder at Tzibur, or at least of the Tzibur that lives there. But the Gemara does differentiate. The Gemara Nun Hei clearly differentiates between Nitam Nes and Nitam Minik. So even though a Jew is bound, I am chayiv to follow the Minik Amakim. The Mishnah was clear in Daf Nun. I'm chayiv to follow the Minik Amakim. It's not just a nice thing to do. I am obligated. If I live in this town, I'm obligated to follow the Minik Amakim with respect to Malacha. But at the same time, it's not the same as the Din Draban. And specifically, Din Draban apply across the board. The Minik is going to only be binding on the people of that locale. So which one is it? But you're onto something. And let's come back to it in a moment. Because the first of the two kashas left hanging yesterday was on this point. Tosis has three different kashas against Rashi. Tosis has three proofs. And our sugya is talking about Isser and not Minig. Why didn't Frech the Birkas Avraham? There's a fourth kasha. But Akiva was waiting to hear. The fear kashas. The fourth kasha is the most obvious of all. If Tosis is trying to mount a full attack, Tosis is trying to make it clear, our sugya is mitam Isser, mitam Ikar Adin, Drabanim presumably, Mi'ikar Adin, and not just Minig Amakim, it's a Din Drabanim across the board. They bring a raya from, well, the sugya nun hei says Rabbi Yehuda holds Isser. And let's be medayik from the first word in the braisa, the opening words of the braisa, Isser. And a kashi misvara nechni hechzinol. Why not look at the end of the sugya? The whole bulk of the sugya was all about what we talked about before, midas chachamim. I said, no, the difference between deraisa is drabanans. This is the way Chazal craft legislation. This is the way Chazal craft diyun drabanan. So it's not just a question of one word asr at the beginning. Oh, you see from the Gemara, hey, you can be medayik to the word asr is not a minute. Much better, the whole sugya, line after line after line at the end, the latter half of the sugya is all about the fact that this is how Chazal craft drabanan. Don't bring me a raya from the Isser Chametz. That's daraisa. We're talking about drabanans. The Gemara was quite clear. We're talking about drabanans. And Rashi himself, in the latter half of the sugya, was quite clear. The whole question of midas chachamim, how do Chazal design drabanans? So how does Rashi himself come off saying at the beginning of the sugya that it's minig? And it's a double kasha, this fourth kasha. A kasha on Rashi, and a kasha on Tosis. Why didn't they ask this kasha? They're right here. And it's not as though they just asked one kasha, they were done. They asked three kashas. They couldn't ask the fourth. It seems like the most central of all. So that was our first hanging kasha from yesterday. Right? It makes sense the whole sugya. What are we missing? Rashi and Tosfos both seem to be okay with the end of the sugya talking about drabanans, even if we're talking about minhagim. So what's going on? So the Birkas Avraham makes a very fascinating suggestion, and I think it relates to an idea that the Rav spoke about often in Shiurim. Of salvation spoke off in Shurim, and I think it's already Marumas in the Ritva in our sugya, and it may help us with Rashi. The Birkas Avraham points out if you turn to Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, in between Nun and Nun Hey, there's a lot of discussion beginning of the fourth paragraph of Minhagim, and Tosis and the long Tosis of Amud Aleph. You see, time and again, he talks about, he differentiates the Tosis. You know, around 15 lines down, 10, 15 lines down to the narrow line, the Nalaf Amal, the first Tosis. The Nalaf Amal, Tosis, then Rasul, E. To the Va'omer, Re. Masnis and Iri, the Minnah Khan, right over here. Masnis and Ari, the line begins, Va'omeri with the Rosh HaTevis, Vav Aleph Vav Reishid. Va'omeri, the Re said, Masnis and Ari, v'minig chashuv, shehinigo pitaminu chachamim. He says, Tosa says that there are minhagim are just the practice of Jews, and then there are minhagim which were instituted by Rabbanim, instituted by Tamir Chachamim. Not a formal takana drabbanan that's chal and all of Klal Yisrael, but a minig that was instituted by Tamei Chacham has much more significance than just sort of a practice that evolved among people. Something that was designed by Tamei Chacham has much more significance. It's a minig chashuv. So he says right away, you see, that just because something is a minig doesn't mean it wasn't designed by the Rabbanim. So the notion that we're talking about how do Chachamim design a din, that could be for a din drabanan, but that could also potentially be for a minig. Maybe the Rabbanim weren't designing a din drabanan that's going to be chal on Klal Yisrael. Local Rabbanim were setting up a minig for their community, but still, you're not just going to do helter skelter willy nilly, just whatever, do whatever you want. No! A minig chashuv will also be crafted in a proper way. It relates to what the Baal Tosa talked about at the beginning of Bava Basra, and Tosa's Nun Aleph here in Pesachim touches on also the notion of minig shtus. And sometimes you have a silly minig, that if something's a minig shtus, you don't, it has no binding force whatsoever, no one has to follow it. Matter of fact, I believe there's a Mordechai at the beginning of Bava Basra points out that minig, mem nun hey gimel, the same letters as, if you jiggle them around, Gehenim. If you reverse it, mem nun hey gimel is minug, gimel hey nun mem is Gehenim. Tosa said to Mordechai, I believe it was a Mordechai, beginning of Bavasar. He says backwards minhagim are Gehenim. A minig shtus is what's a minig shtus? He says a minig shtus is a minig that has no rationale for it. Stam, this is what we do, but there's no good reason for it. That's not a binding minig. And that's what Valitos is used to explain the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of Baba Basra talks about building walls between neighbors. If you have neighbors side-by-side properties, so the opening Mishnah talks about Perek HaShutvin. What happens if the wall between the properties falls down? So you have to rebuild it. The Mishnah starts talking about how thick the wall should be. How thick the wall should be. Depends on the material. Some materials don't need as much thickness. Some need more thickness. And then the Tanam say, but it all depends on Minhag HaMedina. It all depends on Minhag HaMedina, so why are you giving me so many numbers? This type of stone, that type of stone, hey, if it's all Minhag HaMedina, it's all Minhag HaMedina. So Tosfos say, no. But Minhag HaMedina only up to a certain point, if it makes sense. If our Minhag is that we build walls between neighbors with 3 feet thick reinforced concrete, that's just stupid. That's silly. That's your money, that's your Minhag. There's no basis for that. I don't have to pay for a foot and a half of reinforced concrete. I don't have to pay for half of such a wall. You want to make a 3 foot wall of reinforced concrete, it's your business. But if it's only meaningful to have, let's say, I'll make up numbers here, I don't know how much you would that what you, but let's imagine that the maximum sensible thickness for reinforced concrete is 9 inches. Let's imagine. So this guy decided he wants 3 feet, 36 inches. So I say, but again, look at the Mishnahs obviously don't give shiurim for reinforced concrete, but the Mishnah gives shiurim for 4 different building materials that were common during the days of Chazal. It says, this is the maximum amount that's meaningful for that type of material. If you could do 7 inches too, if you do 9 inches, you have more strength. But beyond 9 inches, you're not gaining anything. So I'm going to say, we're only mechayev to build a 9-inch wall. I'll pay for 4.5 inches. And you pay 4.5 inches. You want to make it thicker? You can make it as thick as you want. But I'm only paying for 4.5 inches because any minig of more than 9 inches for reinforced concrete, again, I'm assuming these numbers work, that's a minig shtus. So that's the point of that Mishnah, about opening Mishnah, about Basra, Beis, and Aleph, that gives shiurim for different building materials for the thickness of the wall, even though it's only a minig. That's the Baal Tosa saying to give Basra. The minig shtus, otherwise the minig shtus, minig blow tam, minig shtus, it's not binding even on the people of that location. And so Tosa indicates as well here, Psachim Daf Nun Aleph. And the Rav, Rav Shechter, often shares that the Rav and Shiurim, many different areas of, many different receptors, many different areas of Halacha, would often return to this theme, that the Minhagim have to have reasons. And not that, but along the lines of the greatness of Rav is suggesting in our Sugya, that minhagim, valid minhagim, fit into the framework of the Torah Shabbat, just as we've seen in the past. The Gemara is the principle in Psachim and elsewhere. Kol tikkun rabbanon kein d'oraisa tikkun. The Chazal crafting in rabbanon is you're using patterns and constructs that may appear in the d'oraisa. And why? So that the rabbanons are clearly a natural extension of Torah Shabbat. So too with minhagim. Minhagim also will typically use patterns and concepts that already appear in Dinim D'oraisa or in Dinim D'rabbanan. And the Rav points out when he gives Shin Yerideya, that's why the Be'er Agra, the Gra on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, always gives the Mar Makom for things. Where does it come from in the Gemara? So he'll give Mar Makomos even for Minhagim. Ramah says, we have a minig such and such by Melicha. We have such and such a minig by Trefes. We have such and such a minig by Bas B'chala. Minig! Not a Ramah quotes from Chachmei Ashkenaz. From Ashkenaz, we've shown him this is the minig Ashkenaz, and yet the Be'er HaGra will often still say Based on that Gemara. I mean, based on that Gemara. The Gemara does not machayev it. No one thinks it's a chiyuv drabanan. So Rav pointed out that Vilna Gaon does this often. The Ramallah put him in it, and the Gemara will say that it's rooted in this Gemara. But that Gemara is not machayev you. It's a later minig. But that Gemara, what the Rav pointed out, what the Gemara says, that Gemara, that din that appears in that Gemara is the model after which this minig was shaped. The minig that the Ramah is quoting was modeled after the dinim in that Gemara. Because again, just like called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Daraisa Tikkun, the Rabbanans are patterned after the Daraisas, the Minhagim also are patterned after the dinim, so that you have a whole consistent system. So that's very much aligned with the Birkas Avraham, is pointed out in our sugya. That Rashi said it's minhag, and yet at the end of the sugya we're discussing what's minhag chachamim. And even Tosfos wasn't bothered by the fact that he had, for other reasons, he doesn't think our Gemara is Torah minhagim. But he apparently didn't ask kasha number four. Even Tosfos wasn't bothered, how could you be taught out of minig, and then you're talking about what's minig chachamim. No, because both Rashi and Tosfos accept this principle that a minig, as Tosfos himself says, minig chashim is minig shenhivu tamei chachamim, and not just shenhivu tamei chachamim, it means there's a valid rationale for it, and that this is the way it's designed. The tzur, not only the tama minig, but the tzuras haminig will also correspond to the tzura of dinim. And take a look. Not only does the Birkas Avraham explain our sugya and the Rav elsewhere, take a look in the Ritzvan our sugya, Rabbi Yisrael. After talking about two Achronim who lived in the 20th century, let's go back to Rishon, right here. In the packet that you have, if you need some more copies, we have more copies here. So, the Ritzvah. The first piece on that base on base, Dira Masal Me'emasai. Me'emasai. The Ritva here in the pack, you have the pack, it's the third page. On the top it says, Chidushi Ritva. You see at the star? Me'emasai Yidalasu B'malacha. So he quotes Rashi, and then he quotes, as other Rishonim do, Tosfos disagrees. But before he moves from Rashi to Tosfos, he adds one line. Pirish Rashi Zal. Rashi HaKadosh says, B'mayri Makim Shenagu. And I'm talking about the price of Eimasa Yidal Asim Malacha. Machuz Lezim Yaakim Yehuda. It's talking about Makim Shenagu. You see, a line later he says, Kasav HaRit Zal De'eo Nacha. Nacha Gomesh Pirish Aptosis. Ultimately, the Rizvah says that he holds like Tosis. It says Nasan and no saying, but the footnote 46, they point out that's a Tos. Should be Nachon. Eino Nachon, Nachon Kamesh Pirish HaTosis. So ultimately the verse says he found Tosis more compelling. But look, again, Tosis had three other kashas against Rashi. But look at what he says about Rashi. Before he lets go of Rashi, he says, Uplukta.
Can you bring me that?
Sure.
Sorry.
So what was Ritva say again? Before he mentioned Rashi, before he says, I happen to hold lactosis, he says one more line. Uplukta me'emasai tofes haminag, but all name of the batvadaitan it's like a'adam. And what's the machlokas? What's the machlokas? Machlokas is, and it sounds like he's saying, what's the machlokas? Machlokas over a minag. He may be responding to tosis kasha. Nechsehechin ahu. I mean, machlokas, whatever the minig is, it is. It's no. You know what the plukti on machlokas is? Me'emasai tofes haminig. From when does the minig grab? Tfisa. When does the minig take hold? What do you mean? Whatever the minig is. No, it says, v'lo name of the batladaitim etzik adam. When do we say it's not absurd? When do we stop saying, oh, that's a ridiculous minig, no one else does that? At what point does it become, I believe what he's driving at, is not just, at what point is it not? Are you not such an outlier? There are other people on the same minute as you. At what point is it meaningful? And the footnotes I just noticed, he says, Beferish. This answers Tosfos' Tarkasha. You want to know why does not Nechsi Hechin? Oh, let's go see what everyone does? No, because some minhagim are not viable. Some minhagim are not acceptable. I don't care if in your town they stop doing malacha Yud Beis Nisan. You don't have to follow that. That's ridiculous. Going back to what he said before, Tosin Bar Basa, that's a minig shtus. If there's no good basis for it, then it's not. Then it's, if it's just a folk custom, it happens to be a Jewish folk custom, but there's no basis in the Tarsh, in the constructs of Tarsh Apeh, so then that's not a binding minig. So that's when the Ritva himself is ready to say that that's the machleik according to Rashi. He happens to not like Rashi again. Posted other kashas against Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda on the Lashon Yisra, okay. But in terms of the core svara, what Rashi is saying, that's even if it's a minig, it has to be an acceptable minig. It has to be an appropriate. It has to be an appropriate minig. And again, that at least begins to answer some of the kashas against Rashi. You have to deal with the Rabbi Yehuda issue. The Gemara and Hesed, Rabbi Yehuda holds this aser. And you have to deal with the Lashon Yisra here. Okay? So that's why the other Rishonim fall into line with Tosis. But we understand the svara of Rashi. And we understand why, as the Bereshit Abraham pointed out, even Tosis wasn't troubled by the end of the sugya. The end of the sugya is Midas HaKadim. That could be appropriate even if we're dealing with a minig. It's still going to need not only a proper ta'am, but a proper tzura as well. Notice there has to be a rationale for the minig. It also has to be designed properly. Midas HaKadim needs to be in place. That was the first hanging kasha we had yesterday. The first thing, kasha, how come Tosfos didn't ask the fourth kasha? But now we see there's a whole world of ideas going on here in terms of the significance and the structure of an Minhagim, and that's part of what we see peeking out in our sugya. And what was the other hanging kasha? If the first hanging kasha was, how come Tosfos didn't raise this issue? The second hanging kasha is a asking on the Gemara. There's a hashmata, there's something missing in the Gemara itself. Because what we saw, we just reviewed this, at the end of the Gemara is trying to, Gemara says, if you're going to say the Blas Ben Yaakov is held hard, read the Gemara, thought the Blas Ben Yaakov thinks that the Yisamalcha begins when? What was the Havamina? If he says Or, so originally he thought was Amin, it begins? A night. Right? Then the guy said, no, maybe it's defensible to say that things begin in the morning. When in the morning, Yehuda said, I think it's a chama. What was Armin? Alos. But, Heichan Matsinu, the din should change Alos on Shachar. So, what was the response to that? Well, right, exactly, fast. Tiny Sibur, We dug up a price about Tainus Sibur. You dug up a price about Tainus Sibur. You see in the Gemara here, Mizar Shas tells you the proper gears is not the Snan, it's the Sanya. Because what we're quoting here, if you have a new Gemara, if you have an old Gemara, they're just the star, the Mizar Shas. You have a new Gemara, and you're looking at that base on a base. The new Gemaras have letters for the Mizar Shas. And it's on the second wide line, the Vav. With a one parenthesis, right? The Snan is in parentheses because really it's not the Snan, the Sanya. This is not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. What's the significance of that? And by the way, they don't even tell you it's a Tosefta, it's a Mechilta, we don't know where it comes from. A Braisa. Not all Braisas appear in some other work that we have. A Braisa. Okay. A Braisa is significant, but a Mishnah is more significant. So why do you have to go up? The only source you could find for the din change al shachar is a brisa, a batanis tzibur. And as guys pointed out a day or two ago, and Rabbi Yaakov says the other tanaims have other shirim. A mishnah we started with before. It's the mishnah about day and night. By mitzvah hayom, Megillah Davchav Teferish. And Ayo tell me the guy already said, well, we're not interested in looking at daraisas like chametz. Yeah. But the Mishnah doesn't just talk about, it's true, the Mishnah of Chafral talks about Mila and Tevila and Hazas, Meipar, Aduma, those are Daraisas, yes. Shemer Yom, Kenega Yom, that's a Daraisa. But the very first line in the Mishnah, it is after all Mishnah Masechus, which? Megillah. The reason why I say Megillah is because the very first example is Megillah. Ein Karis Amigila, and not as well as Mila, etc., etc. Achatani Tachama. The Mishnah says, V'chulon sha'astim isha'olam u'ashachar kasher. All of these, starting with Megillah, is kasher from Amud HaShachar. Beferish. A beferish initiative about a bona fide din drabana. Mikra Megillah is a din drabana. Okay, if the Prima Gadin says maybe it's quasi, it's Dibra Kabbalah. The Rabbanan that appears in Tanakh that's slightly more significant. Okay, so we could discuss. Should we say Safik Divir Kabbalah Luchum Lukula? But it's a Drabbanan. Megillah is a Drabbanan. Beferish a Mishnah. What if they have a tiny Sibur for? An anonymous price. A Mishnah. This is where it all starts. Yeah, what do you say? So Binyamin is raising a different question, a good question, which is, what is the halacha of one other raya? So they're both shre. So maybe we should be surprised that Tanya Sibur begins on Alos HaShachar, and Melech HaZer Pesach begins on Alos HaShachar. So the answer to that is, the Rav Yaakov's argument was largely just inductive. Well, we don't find this anywhere else. So this doesn't seem to be the pattern of how Chazal would craft the Rabbanos. One thing can say, well, I found one of the models, so then it's not a shmer. You see, and again, there's a small lukan, and one of you could say, the Chazal would keep the whole day together, or maybe, look, day and night are separate. There's a small in both directions. So once I have one other point, data point, it's not a singularity. It's not so anomalous. But certainly, the more data points, the better. But number one, when I quote both, when I quote the Braisa and the Mishnah, but let's have more evidence. And certainly, if you only quote one, quote the Mishnah. Yeah?
The Mishnah over there is talking about daytime. Fasting is not a daytime. It's made it as night.
Okay. So Ari says, well, maybe over there, we're talking about Aaron is saying the whole topic there is about daytime mitzvahs. You say, if it's a daytime mitzvah, it's a daytime mitzvah. But Tanya Sibur, who said it had to be a daytime mitzvah, it could have been a nighttime mitzvah. It could have been a day and night mitzvah. Good. You're onto something, but let me push back a little bit. You're saying good. Shapur Kahamas, but you could say even better. Because let me push back. So maybe you're begging the question, who told Chazal to create a separate daytime mitzvah Megillah? Maybe it should have been a 24-hour mitzvah Megillah. Right? But you are onto something. You are onto something, yeah? And the truth is, Rabbi Rosner, in his shir last week, he had been talking about the Sugya of Mapelas, and Daf Gimel, which we'll get to soon, Bli Neder, but he already got us thinking about a topic that the Rav raised in his shiurim here in Pesachim. He said, along the lines, perhaps, of what Aaron is saying, he said, Megillah is not relevant because Megillah is about mitzvos. When are you able to do the mitzvah of milah, min ha-Torah? When is a tevila valid, min ha-Torah? Or, when is when can you do the act of mikra Megillah, midra Rabbanan? But the discussion there, as Aaron pointed out, is about mitzvahs. Is that when is a Maisa Mitzvah Kasha? So let's illustrate a little bit. Shofar. And the Mishnah Chafar Beis points out Shofar is a Mitzvah Yom. Lulav is a Mitzvah Yom. At the same time, it's Rosh Hashanah the night before also, even though you can't blow Shofar. It's Sukkot the night before also, even though you can't blow Shofar. Or vice versa. Matzah and Karban Pesach and Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim have to happen at night. Even though the next day it's still the same, it's still Tezvav Nisan. It's still the same Kedusha of Yom of Pesach. But some mitzvahs are daytime mitzvahs and some mitzvahs are nighttime mitzvahs. So there's a difference between asking what are the every Maisa Mitzvah is going to have parameters. Every Maisa Mitzvah is going to have its definition. If I make, if I do an air shofar, even though I'm an amazing beatboxer, I make it sound mamash like a shofar. It's very nice. It's very impressive. You should be in Purim Spiel. But you're not becoming a shofar that way. It's not enough to hear a sound that sounds like a shofar. It has to actually come out of a kosher shofar. And there's a host of dinim in the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, what constitutes a kosher shofar. What type of animal? How is it processed? And is it cracked? Does that have an overlay? A lot of rules. What constitutes Nitilas Lulav? I can't have chatitas on my hands, perhaps. Yeah. What's it considered a kosher lulav? A lot of rules for defining the Maisa Mitzvah Tkiya Shofar, Shmiya Shofar. There are a lot of rules for defining the Maisa Mitzvah in Tkiya Zulav. There are a lot of rules to define the Maisa Mitzvah Drabbana of Mikra Megillah. If I say Mikra Megillah Baal Peh, this guy Mamish, I've been laying them guilt for 40 years. I can say in my sleep, every Nakuda, every truck, with voices, without voices, Ashkenazi, Yekish, Litvish, Galitzianer, I could do Edot, I could do Maghreb, I could do Temoni, from Sana, not from Sana, I could do whatever you want. It's very impressive, but you're not Yotze if you're not looking at the Megillah. But I read the Megillah, yeah, but there are rules for the definition of the Maisa Mitzvah, the Maisa Mikra Megillah. One of them is that you talk about Ksav. And there are other rules also. Every Maisa Mitzvah has its definition. Every Maisa Mitzvah has its specs. So one of the specs of a Maisa Mitzvah could be Bayom or Balayla. And here's Exhibit A. It's Rosh Hashanah, both Balayla and Bayom. You're chayiv the same onesh, whether you do Malacha, Balayla or Bayom. It's the same Kiddush Sayom of Rosh Hashanah. But the mitzvah, the mice, Tkiyashofar has to be Bayom. It's the same Kiddush Sayom of Pesach, night and day. But the mice, Achilles Matzah, has to have Balayla. Since the Rav pointed out, over there in Megillah Daf Chav, it's about Maaseh Mitzvah. So yeah, we're not surprised that Maaseh Mitzvah are circumscribed in terms of time. The same way they're circumscribed lots of other ways. In terms of place, in terms of how, in terms of who. Of course Maaseh Mitzvah are a lot of specifications. But that's not here, because the Maaseh Mitzvah happens at one moment in time. But here we're talking about the Isra Malacha, or Tainus Tzibur, or Isser Chametz. The three areas of halacha that our sugya discusses, none of them are Maaseh Mitzvah. All of them are things, are Isurim, asur to do malacha, asur to eat on a fast, or asur to eat Chametz, or to own Chametz, to be in the end of Chametz, Isurim that stretch across an entire period of time. So we're not just this in our sugya, we're not talking about defining a Maaseh Mitzvah. In our sugya, we're talking about there's a Chal Hashem, if you like terminology, there's a status to this period of time. We're defining a new period of time that it's going to have a certain status. Because the Davra Nimshach, something that spreads, this entire period of time is Yasir B'Malacha. This entire period of time is Yasir Tid Chavetz. This entire period of time is Yasir anything because of Titus. So that's kind of a definition of a Maisa. That's giving a status. So we're defining an interval of time that's a new status. Again, if you like Lom de Shishrach, Chal Shem of the Zman, not the Hagdar of a Maisa. Very different. And that's why our Sugya never mentions Megillah Daf Chav. I mention Megillah Daf Chav. Well, it's Saberes HaOzen. You see from there that Alos, you do see from Daf Chav, Alos HaShachar is a defining mark for when day begins. But the Sugya didn't quote it in terms of how would Chazal step a Dindra Abana? Because it's a different type of Dindra Abana. There it's defined a Maisa. Of course, Maisa have definitions that can be temporal, it can be time-based. But here we're saying not just the Maisa has to happen a certain period of time, the time itself is being defined. This Zman is being called a Tainus. This Zman is going to be called Asma Mulaha. So the question is, how do Chazal Lim, L-I-M-N, how do Chazal define chunks of time to give them a new label? This is Zman we call the Tainus. This is Zman that's going to have an Isser Malacha. This is Zman that's going to have an Isser Chametz. That, a halos of the time itself, that's different. And that's what the Sugya initially said. Lo Matzinu. Chalos and the Zman is all night, all day. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol Moed, Rosh Chodesh. Hal Yom Holech Achar HaLayla, Brachas Daf Beis. That's the way they define the halacha. There was a chiddush that I can have a status just for the day, and for that, the only example we could find was Tainus Tzibur. And let me follow up on this Ha'ar of the Rav and Shiva. We're looking at Avinu David. We had a chance yesterday to look at Aran Rasugya. We had a chance earlier to take a look at Ritva. And let's complete it with. Let's complete with Rabbeinu David and my Hasidish roommate. Take with Rabbeinu David. Take a look at Rabbeinu David here on Dav Beis Amud Beis. Me'emasai Arba Asar Spasiris Melacha. He quotes Rashi, Minig. And he gets involved, maybe not minig, maybe it's Nikar Adin, like Tosfos says. Look at the very bottom line, literally the bottom line of on page 8. After the number 6. The Efsher, the Efsher, the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov la'amra abba mafra shalom v'lasos. Maybe Taka, we could say like Rashi, says Rabbi David, that maybe Rabbi Yaakov is only talking level of minig, he's only talking about those places that have the minig, not to malacha. He's referring back to Davnon. Now, he raises an interesting question, right, David. Why not say, if you hold us only minig, so that means the Isser of Malacha, the Isser of Malacha begins from Chatzos. So the favors that we're dividing a day and a half. Who asked for Yochid? Why do you have to prove from Chavis? Prove from Malacha. If you hold only minute, like Rashi, and the Iker is from Malacha, begins as Chatzos Hayom. So he says, no. He says, maybe Lo Amar Ad Malach Mishol Nagulah says, V'hai Lo Amar Hu Atzmi Yochiyach, why not say, it should be a bringer, what you see, we can divide a day and a half, because we divide the day and a half, Nikra, Din, Malach, Lo Yasser, after Chatzos. So he goes on to say, and we'll see in a moment that maybe the Ikra didn't correspond to Milsa B'taima, like the Ram. He's already saying, generation before the Ram. Milsa B'taima. The Ikra Isra from Chatos has to do with that's when Karban Pesach comes. But watch what he says. You know what the minute will be about? Look at this golden end of it. Mipnesh Elu Nagu Isra B'atzman. Those who had the minute to Asr Malacha before Chatos. Ratzu la'asoso yom tov. What were they doing? What is Issa Malacha? They were mitam minig, they treated the day as a yom tov. Wow. V'chevin shakein, if it's a yom tov, i'ef sh'heila ha miksoso asu, miksoso mutter, shalom atzinu yom sh'asur, miksoso asu si'as malacha. Wow. What a golden way of presenting the notion. It's a chalos on the day. What's not some an iser malacha? I mean, they were giving a certain status to the day. And it brings everything we spoke about together. Both the notion that minhagim fit into the structure of halacha. That's not a random thing to do. And the minhagim use the categories of halacha. And that it's mamash a status of the day. He says, what type of minig is that? It's not a minig, not too long. No! Mitam minig, it's a yom tov. Oh, that's clearly a halos on the day. It's a chal shem, the label on the day. And he said, a label on the day, hechan matzinu, you label half a day. And that's like the response that we will tell you, see, we label half a day. And he goes on to say, and I, what are you going to do? What I mentioned to you before outside. Why are you going to explain the ikar adin? Masha'asr chasos lamayla min adin. If you think we're all talking mitam minig, so the Isser Mikra didn't only begin from Chatzos. What's that all about? It's Enosha Yom Ostrasiyas Malacha. Don't be right from that. That was not a status on the day. That, if the Ikra did that afternoon of Ostrasiyas Malacha, not that day. After was a Yom Tif, El Sha Ostrasiyas Malacha B'Shas Shitas HaPesach. You're not going to do Malacha during the time of Shitas HaPesach. As it says in Yerushalmi, Enom Adin Shei Karbanos Adam Karib Osei Malacha. It's inappropriate that we're bringing karbat. Even if you're ideally you should be present when your carbon is brought. But that's the ideal. You can be yotze, you can be sholeach carbon osav. You can send the carbon ahead, give it to someone else to bring the base of the nation. You don't have to be present. Ideally you should be present, especially with the tama. The time of the Kerah of Karbanos is that you're watching what's the way that Sefer Chinuch and others describe. You're watching what's happening to the carbon. You're imagining that this could be happening to me. Vicarious. It really, and Karbanos is so critical. Sefer Chinuch keeps pointing out, Al Pidin, Karbanos is so central in Karbanos. So really, ideally, you should be there. You should be in the Beis HaMikdash, taking all in and being part of the experience and watch what's happening to the carbon. Yerushalmi says you can't watch. At least you shouldn't be distracted. If you can't be Yerushalayim, okay. So you're stuck in Beijing. You're stuck in Cape Town. You're stuck in Dayton. Okay. You're stuck in Los Angeles. But if you can't be there watching, at least you should mentally be present. Eino bedin, says Yerushalmi. Eino bedin, it's inappropriate. That my carbon is being brought. I'm busy working. I went to work that day while my carbon is being brought. If I can't be physically present, at least I should be mentally focused. So says here, says Rabbi David Gishmak. So the Iker Hadin, he says, maybe say like Rashi. And with this, we are just about ready to wrap up. Maybe you can say like Rashi that really it is mitamim. So the Ikra Din is only after Chatzos. Why? That's a Milsa B'taima. Let's bring it all together. What's the Milsa B'taima? That's when your carbon is being brought. At least that's when your carbon should be brought. So either a mamish, I live in the days of Beis HaMikdash, and my carbon pesach is being brought, or else a Zecher perhaps. This is when Jews were not doing Malacha because they were busy with their carbon pesach. So that's Milsa B'taima. That's why there would be Ikra Din. That you cannot do malachta after chatzos. What are you going to do about the morning? So the morning, the way Rashi is understanding it, the Arsuk is also following the Mishnah Daf Nun, that the morning is mitaminik. But once it's mitaminik, it can't just be a random minig. What is that? What it could be is a yomtiv. It's a yomtiv. There's a status to the time. But status to the time. It's not the question of what the Maisa Mitzvah looks like, the status of the time of Chal Shem and the Zman, that's where Rabbi Yaakov says, Heichan Matzino. Heichan Matzino, either Heichan Matzino, you divide a day in half. Divide it at Shkia. Or maybe the break point could be Elos HaShachar, like a tiny Stibur, but no less than that. Yeah, question. It'll be Yomtiv Mikra Adin when Mashiach comes, perhaps. But some places have the minhag to treat it as though it were a Yomtiv. Again, it's an example of both Minhagim being crafted using the concepts of constructs of Dinim, and it reflects this idea of the Rav that what the Gemara is looking at is the Chal Shem of the Zman, which is why Megillah Dav Chaf is not Rav. But you're right, here it's only Mitam Minig. Maybe perhaps Lost in Love it will be even more significant. Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me just close. This really wraps up the Sukkot. The Rebbe David Mamash brings that both halves of what we spoke about today. Both of the are responses to both of the hanging kashas. Birkas Avram, about the missing fourth kasha in Tosfos, and the Rav, about the fact that our Sukkot never raised Megillah Daf Chaf as a beautiful riot. Let me just end where we began. I opened the Sukkot, I pointed out that the Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Arachayim Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Ches, 168, it talks about getting married Leil Shival Spatamas. And he actually directly brings the right from our sugya. He quotes Psachim Daf Beis. He also, I believe, references, and the Rav in Shiurim makes this connection too and does reference. There's a Machlokas Rif in Baal Hamor, beginning of Masechas Tainus, about saying Aneinu the night of Tainus. You're eating. But it seems to reflect a somewhat similar issue. Is it did the Chal Hashem of the Zman only start at Elos HaShachar? Or maybe the day is a day of a certain status, even though you're only fasting the whole 24-hour day, even at night. It's like Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah at night, and they're only blowing shofar during the day. Maybe the whole 24 hours has a status of a Yom Tanis, even though you're only actually involved in the in the behavior of fasting during the day. And again, bear in mind that this entire our entire sugya was al hatzad, the blessed Yaakov, that or means dawn. But lemaskana, we already know, or means night, which is what Ben Yaakov was talking about the night as well. And in terms of the weddings, I mentioned to you, I had a I brought Nefesh HaRav to our Shraga the summer after it came out. And my Hasidish Mendy, my second Seder Chavrusa and roommate, so he finished Nefesh HaRav before I did. His one kasha was, go ask your it's very nice sefer, but go ask your Shechter. See, the Rav Moshe in the Tshuva talks about getting married the night of Shiraz HaTam, particularly if Shiraz HaTam is on a Sunday, you get married Matzah Shabbos. The Rav, Rav Shechter was in the Rav, that he told the Baal Bakim, he used to fly in every week to give shir, and while he was several days a week, fly back to Boston. Over the course of those days, he'd also give a shir for Baal Bakim in Moria, which used to be a large shul on the west side. So apparently he used to mention in the shir that you should not go to the movies the night of Shabbos Matanis. Because the avelus of 3 weeks, or it's already, even though we're only fasting during the day, the avelus, but it's already Shabbos Matanis the night before. Right? So you should already avoid going to the movies the night before. That would include shaving, all the minhagim, whatever you think is it, taking haircuts, whatever is the forbidden during 3 weeks, you already start the night before. So that was Rav Moshe was more known to Lahaka, at least Litzarach, and the Rav felt, no, the night is ready to die in Tammuz. We're not fasting until the day, but it's like the it's like Kedushas Yom Rosh Hashanah at night, you only have the Maisa Mitzvah Shofar during the day. So Mendy's Kasha was, what do you mean not to go to movies, Leil Shiraz and Tammuz? You can never go to the movies. So I will, Ma Nishtana Shivas and Tammuz any other night. Of course, the terrace to that, the Rashefte once mentioned when we went over on a Leil Hanukkah, Hanukkah Masiv at the house. Mitz Hashem, looking forward to having, we should be Zeicha to have the capacity to have you guys over in our house later this year. Mitz Hashem, Baruch should bless us with that ability soon. So he once mentioned, he said something about watching TV the night before an exam. He said, well, what was on television already? War documentaries. They're all very kosher, banal material. So the Rav told the Baal Bat not to go to the movies for Shiraz HaTam was Michlal, the Shisha Asa B'Tam as you could, but it doesn't mean that every movie is kosher. A kosher movie is kosher. Kosher movies used to be more common, and now they are sadly far, far, far less common than they were. Okay, but this is the sugya of, overtly it's a sugya of Melechas Erev Pesach, and Tanis Tzibur. But as we saw, it's also on a deeper level of sugya of Minhagim, and sugya of recognizing the extent to which Minhagim are not only have to have a tam, but even the Tzuras HaMinig is going to be crafted in the manner that a Din Drabanan would be crafted. And also this recognition of the differentiation between the time-based specifications of a Maisa Mitzvah, the Mila has to be after Alos HaShachar, Mikra Megillah has to be Alos HaShachar, as opposed to what our sugya is discussing, which is actually defining, labeling certain chunks of time. Taking an interval, say, this entire interval has a new din. A tiny Sibur, Malacha, Isser Chametz, everybody plays by its own rules. That's what Blaz Yaakov is dealing with. How would you define it? Either as the Chiddush Aran said, based on the end of the sugya, Milsa B'Taima, then maybe Chazal will craft the time around the rationale. The Tzuras HaDin may reflect the Tam HaDin, but if not, then the Tzuras HaDin will have to be patterned after the standard break marks, either between day and night, or between night and day.